You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
You've been filled up so much that when you're pressed at school with opposition, or you're out ministering to someone and they have a question, it's in you so that you know how to respond. Or if you are faced with opposition, you know what to say, what to do, without having to reference something or call somebody. And so that's really been the purpose of this series, is to equip you and help remind you what's already in you. So we talked about those different property lines. And so tonight I wanted to continue giving you a few examples based on what boundaries are. Does anyone know what boundaries are based on? Anyone remember? Church? The word? Boundaries are based on the word, but they're based on truth. And truth is something that you can't debate. And when you look up in the scriptures, abound, what is abound? It's devoted to or attached under a legal or moral obligation. So what we believe, what our morals are, what our boundaries are, the bounds, is what we determine truth to be. So when I have a moral obligation or something I'm devoted to or attached to, it's based on what I believe about that thing. And that what I believe needs to be based on truth, otherwise it can change. Do you know what I mean? So it's not only important to know what you believe, but why. Because as soon as you face opposition, someone could challenge that. Or they could say, well, what about this? And so when you have something based on truth, it's never going to change. And so depending on the circumstances, it remains the same. And so that's why, like you said, boundaries are found on the word. And so when we're teaching tonight, when they come up and they talk about different topics regarding boundaries, it's all going to be based off of truth, which they found in the word. So it's not going to be based off of their opinion. It's not going to be based off of a judgment. It's going to be based off of what they found in the word. And so that way, when you guys are faced with those oppositions or you're faced with a challenge, what do I believe in this situation? You go back to, well, what is truth? And you find that in the word. Psalms 86:11 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth." And this is the foundational scripture for this series, is that we're looking for his ways in every area of life so that we do know the truth and that we can live according to it. And this isn't just when you're having discussions with people. If you believe you're healed, you're going to act like you're healed. If you believe you're prosperous, you're going to act like you're prosperous. So this isn't just when you're debating someone about whether abortion is right or wrong, or whether you're debating on if heaven and hell is real. This is about every aspect of your life is going to determine what you believe. What you talk to your friends about, what you read, what you watch on TV determines what you believe to be good or bad, or what you support. And so the more time you spend in the word, I was watching something the other day that I had no problem with. And then I watched it, a new episode of it, and it just hit me the wrong way. And I thought, Lord, does this please you? And he's like, nope. And so I won't be watching that again. Now, it's something that I looked forward to. I liked it, but they started to head a different direction. And so I had to make that conscious decision. Do I enjoy these 45 minutes? Yeah, it was a funny plot, but did it honor the Lord in the end? I don't believe it did. And so I cut it out. And so even that small little instance of what I'm watching determines what I believe to be true or what I believe to be good and right. And so just like this scripture, show me your way, O Lord. What should I be doing right now? What should I be saying right now? What should I believe about this topic so that I can live according to what you say about that? And so tonight, as they come up, we're going to have a few different topics as we go along. And they're just going to go one right after another. We have a few video clips, a few skits for you guys. And so I just encourage you, you might have been here for the entire series and said, I've already heard all this. But it's coming from four different teachers. And so I've given them the freedom to use other scriptures and examples and revelations that they've had. And so listen to it with new ears. See it with new eyes, saying, Lord, show me something that I haven't seen in the other ones. If you haven't heard any of these messages, these are going to be 5-minute little nuggets, summaries of what was an hour message. And so all of these messages are online on iTunes, so you can go back and listen to them. But I wanted to do this review because it was a 6-week series, and it got really long. And so I wanted to break it down so you could just get the meat of the message. Is that okay with you? All right, well, if you guys will turn your attention, our drama team has a skit for you.
6:19, verse 19 through 20. Okay, so let's read that. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So I'm going to basically bring it to nowadays. So if your friends let you borrow their car, and it was a 2011 Lamborghini Murcielago that cost about $449,000, and he's just like, here you go, you can use it for the day. You're not going to bring it back with trash in the cup holders or scratch marks all over the hood. And if you did, you're a terrible person. No, you're not. But you are going to bring it back probably better than before. Why? Because it's not yours, and it has a high value. In the same sense, you are worth more than that car will ever be worth any day. You're worth probably 10 of those cars. Maybe you're the most valuable thing in this world, and you are not your own. For Jesus paid that price for you. And if he paid that price for you, that means you are now adopted into God's family, which means you are his son and his daughter, which means you are not your own, which means you should probably leave better than what you came in. So if we could go to Proverbs 4:23. I don't know if it's up there. No? Okay. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To translate that, God's just saying, guard your heart so that way your issues won't bombard your life. God's way to live for your life is not to go through issues, but to come out victorious, to come out strong and going through a great life, right? Can you agree with that? Okay. So, but to guard your heart, you have to first guard the gates. In a castle, you don't just guard the castle, you guard the wall, because it's by the wall that you enter to the castle. So let's look at those gates that affect us. So your eyes. I'm going to do a quick demonstration. Hopefully it's enough time. Okay. I'm going to talk really loud. I'm only showing you for a second, so you got to be vigilant really quick. Okay. Okay. So what did you guys see? Okay, so it only took you a second for you to get that, right? So it takes your brain only a second for it to create a memory of something. So if it only takes a second, how much more with everything else? That takes more than a second. In Matthew 6:22, it says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. So what you see will determine what your whole body will be. So what are your eyes seeing? The next one is your ears. We are hearers and doers of the word. But before you do, you got to hear. His voice is a still small voice. So you have to really be listening. So if God is speaking to you, and the only way to know that is by hearing him. And if you're not hearing him, then we can assume that you're hearing something or someone else, like maybe Justin Bieber. But you should change that with like One Direction, like they did. So look at yourself. Look at what you're hearing. Are you hearing God? And if not, why aren't you hearing God? The next one is your mouth. What are you saying? Matthew 12:36-37 says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So I try to see how that looked like in my life. And so I think it'd be like this. It'd be judgment day. Me, God, you know, he's judging me. And he'd be like, so Nadezda, do you remember when you muttered under your breath that teacher was stupid and incompetent and should get fired because they can do nothing but just pick up trash, and so they should just be a garbage trash picker-upper. Yeah, well, can you explain to me why you said that? Because that was my son you're talking about. And I can't really say, JK, Lord, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. No, that's not going to happen, and he's not going to take JK. So think about it. What are you saying? And if you don't know what you're saying, then you're going to face the consequences in the future. And I'm pretty sure you don't want to be in a situation where God is saying, so why did you cuss out that person? Why did you talk bad about that other person? Why did you talk about my daughter? Why did you talk about my son in that way? The last one are your actions. Word and actions go hand in hand. If you say one thing but you do another, how are you representing God? How are you going to have people believe you if what you're saying isn't matching up with your actions? Your actions is the final confirmation for everything you do. It's who you are. And to bring that to verse, it's Proverbs 20:11. Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. So your actions make you who you are. They speak just as much, maybe even louder, than what you actually say. So guard your heart. If you don't want these issues of life to affect you, see what you're doing. Look at yourself. Before you start pointing a finger, look at yourself and say, what am I doing? What am I seeing? What are you hearing? What are you saying? And always tie it back to the word. Don't just go, okay, well, I can be better. No, tie it back to the word. In Psalms 86:11, it says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you." It says in the beginning, "Teach me your ways, O Lord." His way is for you to have life, is for you to have a great and good and purposeful life, right? So if that's the case, then his way will be the way. And if we go the way, then your heart is sure to be okay. So with that, that was my end of my spiel, my little thing. So if we could bring up Christy Blay and introduce her and say hi. Thank you, guys.
Hello, peoples. Okay, so I have to go really fast because I only have 5 minutes, so you don't have to turn in your Bibles and stuff. I'm just going to read through it. Okay, Proverbs 10:9, it says, "Honesty lives confident and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed." So that being said, we have to be honest with ourselves about what we believe, and we have to be confident in those beliefs. One of the things that we believe is that we respect authority. In 1 Peter 2:13 through 17, it says, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government." So that covers basically everybody. We have to respect everybody, and it doesn't say respect people who respect you. Like this girl said that to me the other day. She was like, "I don't have to respect the teacher. She doesn't respect me." And I was like, "Oh, well, the Bible says." No, I didn't say that. That would have been awkward. Anyways, drugs and alcohol are not okay for us because, you know, it's illegal, and we have to respect the authority of the law. And there's fog. Meanness. Anyways, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Do not let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, and by integrity." So that means that someone can't come up to you and accuse you of, you know, I mean, someone can't be rude to you if you're not rude to them, kind of thing. Like, whenever you honor other people, it'll cause them to honor you, and it'll cause people to look up to you, even if maybe you're older than them, or you're younger than them. Anyways, political parties. Oh, okay. Political parties. So not only do you have to know where the candidates that are running stand, but you have to know where the entire party stands, because those are the people that make decisions for you. So it's really important. Same-sex marriage. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, "Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So, there's that. Abortion. Here are some facts. 1/3 of all women in America have an abortion by the time they're 45. And in some states, you don't have to have permission to get an abortion no matter what age you are. And the 6th commandment says, "Do not kill." So if it weren't a life, then there would be no need to kill it. Okay, last but not least, Israel. In Genesis 12:3, it says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed." That was God talking to people about Israel. So it's really important for us as Christians to bless Israel and to honor Israel. Okay, so that was a lot of stuff, and I said it really fast. So if you have any, like, questions about it, or maybe there's something that you think maybe you don't agree on it with, you can always look back in your Bible, because it has a lot more to say about this stuff than what I just said. And remember, if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. So, up next, Danny is going to come talk to us about some stuff.
I'll take that one. Good job, Christy. Yo, so with me, it was kind of weird because actually somebody else was supposed to do this topic today. And Jen hit me up and she was like, "Yo, can you..." Well, she didn't say yo, but... You know, she said, "Yo, dog, you know, could you cover this topic for me?" So I was like, "Sure, sure, no problem." I had a busy day though, doing work and all that type of stuff. And when I finally get a chance to sit down and look over some of these notes, I find out that it's exactly what my mother and I had been talking about earlier today. I thought it was crazy. Like, God, like, is phenomenal how he chooses to do things. The one I'm talking about is family boundaries. And when it comes to family boundaries, this is what Pastor or Commander Greg was talking about last week or the week before or last week. Maybe the week before. Pastor Commander Greg was talking about this. And as I looked through his notes, I looked through his outline, I noticed a common denominator. It's the first one says the family truth. Then he looks at Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, we've heard this one all. Can we say it together? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Promise Blay. Christy, Promise Blay. I don't know if you guys got that joke. There you go. And so then the point two says attitude towards parents and home, which is Ephesians 6, 2. Honor your father and mother. So that's what my mom and I were talking about today. I came home from school. I'm in college. I came home from class, and I'm talking to my mom, and I don't even know how we got on the topic, but we were talking, and I was telling her, I was like, there's a difference, I guess, between honoring and obeying, because I think this topic is really, like, touchy to a lot of us young people. When I say us, is because we're getting to that age where we're like, well, we're becoming adults. We're almost hitting that 18 mark, and we're thinking of ourselves as adults. And so we get the gray vision of what's obeying. Like, when do I have to obey my parents, and when can I make my own decision? And if we look at that, that's it does become a gray area, because you're becoming an adult. You're starting to get your own mind about things, and you don't want to feel that you're just being controlled by your parents. I've definitely gone through it, and I am. Even still, sometimes I get that feeling. But the thing that I see in the word and that the Lord was telling me about and that my mom and I were talking about is just simple obedience versus honoring. There comes a time where, yes, what your parent says to do is just going to be a suggestion. It's just going to be advice. And they might not necessarily be demanding you to do it. And they might not necessarily agree with what you want to do. But the thing about it is, it's always, always, always appropriate to honor them. And no matter how you choose to make your decision and no matter how you choose to go about what you want to do, you have to always honor. The example that I was using with my mom, I was talking to her and I was like, okay, mom, I understand that you are totally 100% against drinking. So am I. So this is just for the sake of the argument. I'm just talking to her about it. And I'm like, so let's say I wanted to go drink. I wanted to drink. I am not saying that it's good to drink. I am against drinking. I don't drink. But I'm just saying, if I wanted to go drink, then my mom, oh, no, what you talking about? You better not be drinking up in my house. Are you drinking? I'm like, mom, I'm not even saying I want to drink. This is just an example. And so she's like, well, you can't drink. But I'm like, mom, it's my decision. I am 22. And by no means am I telling you guys to disobey, but what I'm saying is there comes a time where she agreed that, okay, I've raised you, I've taught you right from wrong, so now you have to make those decisions. But I told her, even still, if I do decide to drink, the fact that I do it in her presence or do it in front of her would be dishonor, because I understand how she feels about it. So when we're looking at those boundaries, those family boundaries with our parents about how we want to operate and the decisions that we want to make, because there will come a time when our parents will allow us to make those decisions. And even if they don't agree with those decisions, and even if you guys disagree on certain topics, me and my mom discuss topics a lot about, like, biblical principles, discuss it a lot. But either way you go about it, there is never, ever, 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 as my 1 second goes out, ever a reason to dishonor your parents. No matter how you handle your situations, always handle them with honor. That's the main thing I got from these notes. So that's my time. And with that, My man David is up next.
Amen. That was good. Don't you agree? God is good. Amen. All right. I just want to point something out real quick. We've gone through three mics, and we were given this one. What makes this mic so important? Well, it was given to us, and it works. So just like we're given gifts, we must expect it to work. So it says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, God gives the gift of marriage to some, and to some the gift of singleness. For the same reason that we go looking for gifts on Christmas is the same reason we should be looking to God for our gift of marriage and relationship in every area. Every area. And it says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. That means look for nothing but the kingdom. Nothing but the kingdom. So if you're looking at a TV and you're like, okay, I see some love in there. I see some peace. I see some happiness. Ooh, but he doesn't like her at all. Like there's hatred, no peace. Okay, so that doesn't work. So, and live righteously. Why would Jesus tell you to live righteously if he just said seek the kingdom of God? Anyone? Right. If you seek the kingdom of God, wouldn't you be seeking to do the right thing? So every time you're seeking the kingdom of God is every time you're doing the right thing. And he will give you everything you need. Can I get that target on the screen? Awesome. Okay, how many of y'all remember what each area represents? Like the middle circle, one. What's one? Close friends. The inner circle, what's in family? I heard family, friends. Okay, there's another word she had for it. I'm going to give you the first letter, S. Soul ties, awesome. So the first one is iron sharpening iron friends. Proverbs 27:17. How many of y'all want friends that'll build you up every single day? Every time you talk to them. Wow, no one over there wants a friend like that. Okay, I'm going to ask that question again. How many of y'all want friends that'll sharpen you and build you up every single day? Awesome. Okay. Next is parents. And Danny did an awesome message. Ephesians 6:1-4. I'm not going to read it because we just heard it. And siblings. How many of y'all need a reason to love your siblings? Okay, I have a scripture for you. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Why would he say love each other as brothers and sisters if you don't love your brother and sister? Thank you. Why would Peter tell people to love their brothers and sisters if they don't already love their brothers and sisters? So let's just say, can I have two volunteers real quick? Blake and Hannah. Okay, Blake, you're going to be my brother. I just want you to stand right there. Let's just pretend Hannah's one of my friends. All right, so Blake, he just came up to me and he's like, you know, David, I really want to go see a YouTube video real quick. Can I go look it up on your laptop? So he just said that. What? Dude, my guitar hasn't been restrung. My clothes are all over the floor. Go pick it up for me. Go do everything for me. And then Hannah comes up and is like, oh, dude, I heard you got a new laptop. Can I go play something, I don't know. Can I go play video solitaire on your computer? Oh yeah, anything you want, go. Just go have fun on my laptop. That doesn't work, you can go sit down. That doesn't work. If he's saying to go love everyone as brothers and sisters, but you're not loving your brother and sister, how is God gonna reward you and friends? Exactly, okay, so number two is the people that affect you and move you. Oh, wait, those are soul ties. Right, okay. The outer middle circle. Okay, the people of school around you, the people you see every day with problems but you can't reach or touch. The outer circle is the people you see but don't know at all. So you see them and you pray for them and that's all you know about them. All right. Okay, right now, I want you to think of something you want to do really bad. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now yell what you just thought out at me right now. Okay. whatever you just said is number one. Whatever you just answered is number one in your life. All right, the proof of the desire is in the pursuit. And that's in Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And in Deuteronomy 28:1, if you diligently seek the voice of the Father, all of his blessings shall come upon you and overtake you.
Fourteen 40 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.